You see, the secret to closing more sales lies in the mind of your prospect. People buy for their reasons, not ours. If they are not buying, it's because you haven't asked enough questions to truly understand them, or your product or service doesn't fit their needs. If you've been around sales for any length of time, you've heard the phrase, "It's a numbers game." Have you ever asked yourself if that belief is helpful or not? When salespeople adopt that belief and begin to treat people like a number instead of a person, it is easy to see why there is so much pain in the sales process and a low opinion of salespeople in general. Welcome to Time Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Sell. I'm your host, Mark Dolan, and today we're diving deep into a topic that separates good salespeople from extraordinary ones: understanding sales psychology and working with it rather than against it. Sales isn't just about transactions. It's about human beings, understanding their behavior, their emotions, and their decision-making process. When you understand why people buy, you can sell more effectively, build better relationships, and close more deals with confidence. By the end of this episode, you'll walk away with powerful insights on how the mind works in a sales setting, and more importantly, how you can apply these principles today. So let's get into it. Have you ever wondered why people buy things they don't need? Or why one salesperson can say the exact same words as another, yet get completely different results? Sales success often seems to be a mystery. It seems hard to connect the dots and predict results consistently. If you've been around sales for any length of time, you've heard the phrase, "It's a numbers game." Have you ever asked yourself if that belief is helpful or not? When salespeople adopt that belief and begin to treat people like a number instead of a person, it is easy to see why there is so much pain in the sales process and a low opinion of salespeople in general. Success in sales comes down to our understanding of buyer behavior and how the brain makes decisions. Here's the deal. Buying isn't a logical process. It's emotional first, then rationalized later. That means people buy based on feelings and instincts, then justify their choices with logic. People buy on emotion and justify with facts. Think about the last time you made a big purchase. Did you analyze every little detail first, or did you have a gut feeling about it? Chances are you knew exactly what you wanted before you even started looking. Your emotions played the primary role. People tend to use information to disqualify the product or salespeople after they have already decided they want something. Usually they decide what they want, and as they gather information, they disqualify solutions that don't get them what they want. The best presentations are more successful because they avoid giving people too many reasons not to move forward, instead of bombarding them with all the reasons why they should. This is why understanding the decision-making process is key. First, awareness. The buyer realizes that they have a need or a desire. Second part is consideration. They explore the possible solutions. And the third is they make a decision. They take action and their choice. When you know how people think, you can tailor your approach to guide them toward a decision. Now, let's break down some of the most powerful psychological triggers that influence buying decisions. The first is reciprocity, the power of giving first. People naturally feel obligated to return favors. If you provide value up front, whether it's free advice, a sample, or just genuine help, your prospects will be more inclined to do business with you. For example, have you ever been given a free sample at a store and suddenly felt more open to buying the full product? That's reciprocity in action. Early on in my sales career, my mentor in real estate mailed a comparative market analysis to every single lakefront in our marketplace every single year. Now, clearly, he wanted to control that geographical area, but he also gave something of value first and took advantage of the principle of reciprocity. The second trigger is a commitment and consistency. Small yeses lead to big yeses. If someone commits to something small, they're more likely to follow through on something bigger. This is why getting a micro commitment early, like a verbal agreement or a minor purchase, helps move the sale forward. A real estate agent might ask a buyer client, "Would you like me to send you a few home listings?" That small yes makes it easier for the client to say yes to a showing, and eventually saying yes to the purchase. Another example on a listing presentation might be that you share a feature of your marketing plan. For example, how you plan to share an engaging video tour of their home with your 2,000 followers on your social media accounts. And then you ask them if they would like that kind of exposure for their home. Of course, they will say yes, which is a small step forward. Now, far too often, salespeople will not attempt small incremental closes and test the temperature of their client. Instead, they wait until the very end of the presentation, and because they haven't done any test closes along the way, they have no clue if the seller's moving in their direction or simply politely gathering information, nodding their head. A no response at the end of the presentation is painful and almost impossible to overcome after you have no arrows left in your quiver. Let's move on to another social trigger, social proof. People follow the crowd. Buyers trust what others say more than what you say. That's why testimonials, reviews, and direct referrals are gold in sales. You want them. There used to be a phrase in the old days called keeping up with the Joneses. That's social pressure. Now think about this. Have you ever chosen a restaurant because it had more five-star reviews than the one next door? That's social proof at work. The same truth applies when looking for a hotel traveling across the country. My wife and I check the reviews and comments for hotels all the time before we book a reservation. Think about it. Consumers really distrust what salespeople say about themselves. So try to get other people to say it for you. Another trigger is the power of expertise. People trust experts. When you establish yourself as an authority in your field through knowledge, certifications, or a very strong reputation, clients are more likely to trust and buy from you. In today's world, with so much information available online, if you are not more up to date and targeted in on a specific market or a specific product, you won't be providing value to the customer that they can't find on their own. So here's a big tip. Share your insights, write articles, host workshops to position yourself as a trusted expert. If you are the one providing the information online to the public, you are their expert source. The phrase infoties was coined some years back to describe exactly this principle. Find creative ways to share valuable insider information with the public to set yourself apart as an expert. Now, I know this next suggestion takes a lot of work. My sales team previews all the new listings in our marketplace, assuming the listing agent will make the home available and accessible every week. They see them in person, so that when we are introduced to a buyer prospect that asks about the property, we always have the ability to share something about the home that the buyer couldn't possibly know from the internet. For example, the abandoned appliances in the front yard of the neighbor next door, or the proximity to the flight path of the local airport, etc. This works with sellers too when we are pricing property during the listing presentation. When you politely, and I say politely, demonstrate knowledge that your prospect or customer doesn't know, you become more valuable to them. The next trigger is the power of being liked. Building rapport is one of the most important sales tools. We naturally prefer to do business with people we connect with. How? We like them to be genuine, listen actively, and find common ground with us. People don't buy products, really. They buy relationships and an experience. You see, this may be the most important sales psychology truth of them all. I really believe this is why so many salespeople spend far too much time bonding and talking about things unrelated to the business at hand, because they want that connection. But they don't end up doing any business because they forget to get back to business. On the flip side are the people who are performance-driven and don't spend enough time making a connection. The key is to find the correct balance. This requires understanding of personality styles, high personal awareness, and versatility, which we discussed in previous episodes. Another trigger is the concept of scarcity, fear of missing out. When something feels limited, whether it's a special offer, an exclusive product, or a limited time deal, it creates a sense of urgency. For example, you've seen this when getting airline tickets, only 3 spots left at this price. That triggers a stronger buying impulse than simply saying, sign up anytime. So let's talk about some practical applications. How do we apply these principles to real-world selling? Here are 4 key strategies. Number 1, actively listening. Make sure you understand your prospect before you sell. Most salespeople simply talk too much. The best ones listen more than they speak. Ask open-ended questions and truly understand what the client needs before offering a solution. Next is effective questioning. We need to dig deeper. Instead of asking, "Are you interested?" try, "What's most important to you in making this decision?" This shifts the conversation from yes-no answers to meaningful discussions. Next is storytelling. Make it relatable to your prospect. People remember stories more than facts. Use emotional language wherever possible. When selling, share a success story that matches your prospect's situation. It will make them see themselves as part of a solution. Next, handling objections. Address concerns. We talked about this in the previous podcast. Don't push. When a client hesitates, don't just counter with logic. Acknowledge their concerns. Show empathy and provide reassurance. Another example of that, which we talked about last episode, I understand that price is a concern. Many of my clients felt exactly the same way until they saw how much they saved in the long run. Now, that's a great way to validate their feelings while guiding them towards a yes solution. Sales isn't just about persuasion, it's about understanding people. When you tap into the psychology of selling, you connect better, close more deals, and build long-term relationships. As a coach and sales trainer, I am often faced with salespeople that haven't internalized the meat of this message yet. Success in selling is less about you and more about understanding the people first and responding appropriately and effectively to them. When discussing a prospect they are having difficulty with, salespeople will often tell me the problem and immediately follow up with, "So I told them this, blah, 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 blah." I had a great friend who is a sales coach that gave me a perfect script for this. "I know what you said, but what did they say? What does your buyer think?" You see, the secret to closing more sales lies in the mind of your prospect. People buy for their reasons, not ours. If they are not buying, it's because you haven't asked enough questions to truly understand them, or your product or service doesn't fit their needs. So here's my challenge. Pick one of these psychological principles and apply it to your business right now. Experiment with these principles in your next sales conversation. Maybe it's using social proof, creating a sense of scarcity, or simply listening more. Try it and watch the difference it makes. And before I end for this week, let me take a moment to give a big shout out to our show sponsors, Cassie Winterout at M5 Financial. You can reach her at area code 858-999-1778. And RE/MAX Big Bear Area Experts at 909-866-6161. Their contact info can be found in the show notes and comments. So if you found value in today's episode, share it with a friend or colleague, and don't forget to subscribe. Next week, we're talking about the art of following up, how to close more sales without being pushy. Until then, keep mastering your craft and making every conversation count. This is Mark Dolan signing off from Time Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Self.